Three men were running late for their flight home after a convention, and in their haste, they knocked over a stand that was selling apples, and they went everywhere. In fear of missing their flight, the men kept going. As they got closer to the departure gate, one of them said to his friends, "Call my wife and tell her I will be on a later flight." And he turned around and went back to the apple stand where the young girl was struggling to gather the fallen apples. He proceeded to help her and in conversation discovered she was blind. With the apples back in place, he gave her money for the damaged ones and said goodbye. As he was walking away, she called out to him, "Mister, are you Jesus?" God's kindness had appeared and it looked like Jesus. I think it would take me all morning to name everyone who has pointed me to Christ in my life and still do. But for those who stand out as heroes of the faith, those among the great cloud of witnesses, I have received encouragement and been led by example. I can only say how blessed I am by their touch on my life. I suspect you also would have heroes of your faith journey who you look up upon as having led you to Jesus. In order to put today's gospel into context, we need to remember that John the Baptist has had a profound spiritual experience of baptizing Jesus and seeing the releasing of the Holy Spirit upon him. He had his eyes opened and saw Jesus for whom and what he is, the Lamb of God, a title that has been woven into the very language of Christianity from that day onwards. These are words that come from the very mouth of John, of one who now knew without a shadow of doubt who Jesus was. But why did he use that title for Jesus? Why did he call him the Lamb of God? There are several thoughts about this, and they revolve around the concept of sacrifice to God. One thought says, historically, twice a day in the Jewish tradition, in the temple, a lamb was sacrificed to God for the sins of the people. John, being the son of a priest, would know all about the rituals of the temple and its sacrifices, and he made the connection between that experience and says, "And here is Jesus, the Lamb of God." In the temple rituals, people such as Samuel, David, Solomon knew the Lamb stood for a mighty conqueror, a champion of God. So when we hear the term Lamb of God, it is not about a weak and helpless lamb, but rather one of majesty and power. Jesus was the champion of God who fought against sin and conquered it. In imagery, he is the Lamb of God, and we are still humbled and in awe when we hear it said. It has a ring of sacredness about it, and we sing it every Sunday as we gather around the sanctuary steps to receive our communion. O Lamb of God, have mercy on us. O Lamb of God, take away the sins of the world. O Lamb of God, grant us your peace. And its message to us is one packed with sacramental love. John makes it clear in the events of this week in his life that he, having recognised Christ as the Lamb of God, is himself the one who points people to Christ. We know the Bible is not stories of events and tales that happened long ago, but it is true and living for all times, a record of what has and is to come. This story is not just a story, it's about teaching us of the great love that Jesus has for us and how we respond to that. Obviously for John, when he baptised Jesus, he had the experience of standing on sacred ground. Something happened to him that caused his eyes to be open and the truth to be revealed to him of who and what Jesus was, and God's Spirit settled on him. We note here in the text that John didn't keep this truth to himself. He shared it with two of his disciples, one being Andrew. And when they saw Jesus the next day, John says, "Look, here comes the Lamb of God." It would seem these disciples of John were either curious or blessed by this statement, as they then followed Jesus until he spoke to them, asking what it is that they wanted. Their response was, "Where are you staying?" Jesus said, "Come and see." So they went and stayed with him all that day. And again, quoting the text, it says, it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That's the sort of impact this meeting with Jesus had on those disciples. So profound that they even give the hour it occurred. And now they realise that the door has been opened and Jesus invited them in. After meeting with Jesus, Andrew's first instinct was to find his brother, Simon Peter, and say to him, "We have found the Messiah." And he took him to Jesus. As Andrew rushed off to tell his brother that he had found the Messiah, the Christ, it came to me as I wondered, who is it that we have rushed off to tell about the Christ? When we are baptised, the Spirit of God descends on us, and we know our baptism isn't just about the occasion, the day and perhaps the party that may follow, or over time it may well be forgotten as the significance that it was. I recall of the many baptisms I have done, usually for families on the edge of the church. On one such occasion, a family brought their child to be baptised, encouraged by their grandmother. When I was baptising the baby and his brother, who was about 3 years old, I did the baby first, and the 3-year-old watched, fascinated. And then it was his turn. I explained to him that I was just going to put some water on his head. And in a loud voice he said, "But I had a wash this morning." I think that family may well remember the occasion of his baptism. Likewise, you may have been brought to the church by your parents to be baptised and had water poured over your head, and you probably screamed. But the sign of the cross was made on your forehead, claiming you as Christ's own, not just for the day, not just for the weeks that followed, but for life. In receiving his baptism, Jesus announced his calling and mission as the Messiah. In receiving our baptism and the Holy Spirit within us, we are called to obedience in Christ. That means a life of faith and following Christ, modelling him as best we can in loving and caring service to others, pointing them to Jesus. I think daily our prayers should be loud and clear to Jesus, saying, "Lord Jesus, let us see the world as you see it." Many times as a chaplain in what was Ginninderra Gardens, now RSL, I would take my spirituality tin with me when I went visiting, and I'm sure you've heard me talk about this tin before. It's a great tool for conversation and connecting with people, especially with those who have dementia or want to share their journey with me. It contains many items that could be recognised in their life story, but they were curious about the white soft lamb in the tin. "Ah, yes," I would say, "that is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, the Lamb of God who loves us so much that he gave us eternal life." Many a person in the nursing home, among the frail aged and dying and their relatives, came to know Jesus through this simple tool of contents in an old tin and a white fluffy lamb. It can be a hard task to live in this world as a follower of Jesus, and sometimes we don't get it right, and other times we know we have when someone says to you, "This Jesus, can I come and see?" So I wonder who led you to taste and see this man called Jesus and commit yourself to live in this way of life. I wonder if you can recall the name, the day, the hour, the occasion that Jesus was made known to you. One of the elderly clients in the community said to me just recently that she had learnt about Jesus through her mother. When she was much older, and on occasion when she was quite ill, and fearing she might die, she suddenly woke up in the middle of the night to a gentle voice saying, "Fear not, "You are a child of God who is much loved." She believed this to be the voice of God, and even today, she's just turned 88 years, she still can recall that experience as if it was yesterday. Through this crisis that we are experiencing at the moment with drought and fires and now floods, the total destruction of properties, livelihoods, lives, bush habitat and our precious wildlife and animals, many may be saying, "Where is God?" But on the other hand, well, God may be seen in it all. In the storm of catastrophe and apocalyptic events, as hands reach out to give and receive food, water, accommodation and much needed fodder for their remaining cattle, and even the surviving wildlife, they are being fed carrots and sweet potatoes being dropped from a helicopter. And beside the animal hospitals, people are opening their homes and making them into makeshift hospitals for the animals. Fences are being rebuilt by Blaze Aid, and the Navy and Army reservists are on the sea and ground, and the Army of Volunteer Firefighters, exhausted, are being relieved by others from Singapore, Fiji, Japan, America, New Guinea, and New Zealand to help, reaching across our burnt and charred land. And the nation is mobilising volunteers in all tasks and initiatives. We hear in interviews on the radio and the television people thanking God that they are safe and others thanking God they were saved. If this is not love your neighbour as yourself, then I don't know what it is. God's kindness has appeared and it looks like Jesus. God is with us in the storms. He's not the creator of them, any more than he created the stormy waves of the Sea of Galilee, but he was there with them in the boat, offering them peace. This might sound too simplistic an answer to the quest of where is God, but however it is put, God is with us, not against us. As followers of Christ, we are light bearers, those who carry the light of Christ into places of need, be it through action or word or the breath of our prayers. I have a mission statement in my ministry for those who struggle with daily issues of just trying to live day by day. And it says, "Lord, please bless those who have no hope and show me how I can help." When Andrew rushed off to tell his brother that he had found Jesus, it begs the question of us, who have we rushed off to tell about Jesus? Our task, as well as John's, is to invite people to come and see and open the door for conversation. John was touched to the core by the experiences of the past few days, baptising Jesus, seeing the Holy Spirit come down like a dove, hovering over his head and filling him, and now leading others to meet him, pointing them to the Lamb of God. He and Andrew are great examples of how we spend our Christian life, bringing others to Jesus. And he was just an ordinary person like you and me, nothing exceptional until he met Jesus. And then he really knew what life was about, how to live it, how to survive, how to share it. Jesus looks at us not just as followers, but as people with the capability to draw others to himself. That's why he calls us to his way of life. And we need to respond to that with great excitement. Or if you're a more quieter soul, you might use the words of Marcina Weindecker, who said, "Bathed in morning light, pray that the lantern of your life moves gently this day in all those places where light is needed." When the Holy Spirit takes possession of us, there comes into our hearts and minds a hunger for the knowledge of God, and we begin to understand our purpose as Christians. Our life is changed. We are enlightened. We are strengthened in our day-to-day living, and we are assured that God loves us deeply for who we are. God is a God of love. He likes nothing more than to have us come to him with outstretched arms and fall against his chest, binding that unity of spirit that comes to us through our baptism. Has our faith, our passion for Jesus dried up? Or are we excited enough about our faith in having discovered Jesus that we want to rush off and find our brothers and sisters and tell them what it is that we have discovered? That is this man Jesus, our friend, our saviour, our Messiah, the Christ, the Lamb of God. So in the words of Isaiah, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Amen.